Good morning, all. Let's say together the prayer of illumination. We turn to you, creator of the whole human family, for you have much to teach us. Open our hearts and minds to your word for us this day. May your message resonate in our lives, changing the way we perceive the world and drawing us closer to you and your eternal truth. Amen. Today we will learn from the scripture lesson of Matthew 7, verses 7 through 11. Ask, and it will be given to you. Search, and you will find. Knock, and everyone who asks receives. And everyone who searches finds. And for everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. Is there anyone among you who, if your child asks for bread, will give a stone? Or if the child asks for a fish, will give a snake? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good things to those who ask him? This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Please stand as you are able and join in the affirmation of faith printed in our program. As we say together, we believe in God, whose love is the source of all and the desire of our lives, whose love was given a human face in Jesus of Nazareth, whose love was crucified by the evil that waits to enslave us all, and whose love, defeating even death, is our glorious promise of freedom. Therefore, though we are sometimes fearful and full of doubt, we trust in God. And in the name of Jesus Christ, we commit ourselves to the service of others, to seek justice and to live in peace, to care for the earth and share the commonwealth of God's goodness, to live in the freedom of forgiveness and the power of the Spirit of love, and in the company of the faithful, to be the church for the glory of God. Amen.
My friends, let us pray. Generous and loving God, we give you thanks that we can come before you, that we can lift up our joys and our concerns, and that we know you are present in our lives and in the world. Heavenly Father, we can get frustrated and frazzled by the busyness of our days, of the many demands, of all the information that overloads us, that overwhelms our families and friends. And in that midst, help us to find the calm center where you reside. Help us to find the ways to shut out all that noise and to hear your voice in the still, in the quiet, and in the peace. For we know that you would ask of us to have that center where we can find joy and love and where we can turn around and share those with the world. In this frantic world, people have turned away from you, searching for spirituality, but without your face, without your hands, without a knowledge of your Son Jesus. And yet we know that spirituality is found through him, that he is the source of our calm, the source of our hope, that his sacrifice, that his love, that his resurrection gives meaning and hope to all. So help us to learn ways to articulate that grace. Help us to be brave enough to share it with those who offer us openings. Help us to set aside our timid ways and to have the joy of sharing our love for you. And as we share that love, we can share also the truth of how turning to you in prayer changes lives. How when we lift up those we love, those who are facing medical procedures, those who are waiting for results, those who are simply dealing with ongoing treatments or with medical problems that really just continue, when we can share what a difference prayer makes, we know that we can help them find you too. And so, Lord, we ask that you be with all those whose names we have thought of, for all those we know who need your prayers, for a world that is filled with conflict and war. We pray for the leaders of our nation and of all nations. We pray for the groups that are struggling to find food and water and a way to live. We know that this is your hope for the world, that you are the source of peace. And so we would ask that you help us to be a peaceful and resourceful people. For we ask in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Today, Martha and I are starting a new series on prayer. It's a pretty big subject, so I went to some sources looking for ideas, because this isn't the first time we've preached on prayer here. So I went to Amazon, and at Amazon, I found 196,604 results on prayer. I can't read that much that fast, so that will keep us going for quite a bit. But then I went to YouTube, because I use YouTube a lot to find out how to do things. And so I typed in prayer, and I found 20,700,000 videos on prayer. Now, granted, some of that's going to be songs, some of it's going to be sermons, some of it may just be, you know, prayerful music in the background, but 20 million. Lastly, I went to Google, typed in prayer, and discovered 371 million results. So even though we've talked about the Lord's Prayer and different types of prayer, there's plenty of material out there for us to cover on prayer. And you see, as I was thinking about this, I realized that everyone prays. Everyone. Christians, Jews, Muslims, Buddhists, Hindus, Shinto, you name it, they pray. Every faith uses prayer. And on top of that, even atheists pray, at least when they get hurt. You know, you go up to someone who says they're an atheist, you punch them, and what are they going to say? They're going to say, "Oh, God." Right? That's a prayer, folks. Everybody prays. It's how human beings are made. It's part of our spiritual, the spiritual component that gives us our soul. It's in our DNA. At the same time, while we all pray, most people aren't comfortable with it. Nobody thinks, you know, that they're really good at prayer. The Apostle Paul said this: "The Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know how to pray as we ought." Well, you know, Paul's got a fair bit on me, and if he can say that, then any one of us can say that. It's okay if we need help. And that is not to say that some folks, usually pastors, don't pray a long time. I remember a wedding here vividly. The couple was very young, an age that we don't marry couples. They were from Eastern Europe, and they were living in an enclave of that nationality up in Northern California. There was a guest pastor, and so I invited him to worship, lead worship with me. And I always say, you know, the message should be, you know, 5 to 10 minutes, because all the wedding party is standing. Well, he preached for 25 minutes. And they had another friend who did the prayer at the end of the service. And he stood right over there. And he was kind of grumpy that he wasn't asked to preach. So he prayed for 25 minutes. I can't remember a thing either one of them said, but we did lose 3 bridesmaids to fainting. That's what I remember. That's what most people are going to remember from that service. So it's easy to feel inadequate by our prayers, but God doesn't want you to feel that way. In essence, prayer is simply talking to God. That's really all it is. God doesn't want anyone to feel frustrated or feel guilty that our prayers aren't worthy, but a lot of us are and do. We aren't alone in that either. If you think about the disciples of Jesus, they were with him day in, day out for 3 years. They saw him do miracles on a regular basis. They were with him when he healed people. But they never asked him, "Master, teach us how to do miracles," or, "Lord, give us the knowledge to teach and preach like you do." No, they said, "Lord, teach us how to pray." They asked this because they knew that all of Jesus' love, understanding, strength, and his ability to teach, preach, do miracles, and heal all grew out of his prayers with God. So they asked, and we're inclined to ask, "Lord, teach us how to pray." Cynthia read a lesson today from the Sermon on the Mount, and there Jesus gives the simplest basics for learning how to pray. "Ask and it will be given. Seek and you will find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone who asks receives, and everyone who searches finds, and for everyone who knocks, the door will be opened." You know, that's a heck of a promise. We hear those words and we think, you know, that's great. And almost immediately, we start disbelieving them because we think our prayers are boring. Jesus was changing the world, and we're worried about having a bad day. One of the primary facts of prayer that each of us has to hold close is that God loves for you to talk to him about anything. Anything. "Thanks for a good morning. A great day, a wonderful meal." Or, "Lord, I'm having a bad day. I'm scared. I don't know what to do." We start thinking that God will get sick of us asking about the same thing day after day after day. But that's not how it works. God loves you. God is interested in what you are interested in. God enjoys talking with you. That's how loving family relationships work. Sometimes, though, we just have to practice. Growing up, I was on a swim team. So were my 5 siblings. So 6 kids on a swim team. 10-year age difference. We went to the pool at 8:30 in the morning, and we didn't even finish practice till 1 o'clock. My parents got us there every day in the summer. Then they'd get us there early in the mornings during school years. My parents could barely swim. My mother, till the day she died, could not keep her eyes open with water around her face. But they took us, and they went to a lot of swim meets. Over 15 years, they learned the rules. They discovered the intricacies of the strokes, the strategies for the races. They knew the other team members, their families. They even knew the competitors, the coaches and families. It took time, but they learned the language of swim team. Martha commented on last night, you know, "What's 3 and out? Follow baseball, you know. You know, what is from downtown? Follow basketball, you know. You know, what's a hat trick? If you follow hockey, you know." All these things, all these languages, you have to take time to learn. Well, prayer is no different. So praying is like learning a new language, a spiritual language. The language of prayer is recognizing what a prayer looks like. Jesus said, "Ask, and it will be given." To ask for something is to say, "I need help. I can't do it on my own." It is the easiest thing to do. Simply say the words. Say the words. But prayer is not an equal relationship. When you go before God, you must approach and admit your own helplessness. You can't do this on your own. Be specific as to what you're requesting. Because you see, the word ask is often used with the respect of a petition. You are petitioning a superior, and that's what we're doing. But then Jesus said, seek, and you will find. Seeking is asking plus effort. When someone wants something, they pursue it. To pursue something, you must show effort. Know, though, that God is never going to do what you can do on your own. If you just don't feel like getting up and doing something, God's not going to take care of that. But God is more than willing to do for you what you can't do on your own. And the last instruction Jesus gave us is knock, and it will be opened to you. Knocking is asking plus effort plus persistence. To knock means to be persistent in pursuing what you need from God. What you knock again, you know, when you're knocking on a door, you knock and knock and knock until the door is open. We tend to knock when we are cut off from what we need and desire access to it, and we don't stop, but it's not always that door. You're knocking, it could be the next door or the one behind you. Be aware of that. John wrote, "And this is the boldness we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have obtained the requests made of him." 1 John 5:14 and 15. It's a great verse. It tells us twice that God is listening. And our problem is that we tend to get frustrated by our misconceptions. We tend, sometimes people think prayer is magic, or that it's a punch list. I can make the list and God will complete it. Or it's a special ceremony. But those misconceptions or ones like them are prevalent in most of us. We come here into this incredible sanctuary and start thinking that prayer is like a magic wand. We wave it and it is so. And if it isn't, we don't know what to do. Or we think there are secret words that we have to use to get God's attention. Hocus pocus, my wife won't mind me getting a motorcycle. Doesn't work that way, does it? Here's your fun fact for the day. Hocus pocus, you know where that comes from? I'm going to tell you. It comes from the Latin Mass, where the priest would hold up the host and say, "Hoc est corpus meum, this is my body," and then break it. But someone at some point was in the back and couldn't understand and said, "What was that? Hocus pocus?" And there it is. Been magic words ever since. Prayer is also not a ritual or a ceremony. As I was trying to think of a good example, I happened to see a movie. It was a historic English piece. And what are the women learning how to do? How to pour tea. Japan has an even greater ritual. It takes years to learn how to do it correctly. Make one mistake anywhere in the ceremony or in the ritual, and you bring shame upon yourself and your family. It's not how it works. Prayer, as Jesus is teaching it to us, grows out of a relationship with God. There's a truth worth remembering. Prayer is the expression of your relationship with God. We're supposed to be getting close to God. It doesn't come overnight. David didn't write the 23rd Psalm the first day he decided to write something to God. We're supposed to be getting closer each day. God loves us and wants to have a relationship with us. Prayer is that spiritual language that we learn over the time we spend with God that allows us to communicate at a deeper, more honest level. How many of the Psalms are lament? Almost 60% are a lament. Here's another great truth building on that. Prayer is a conversation. If you are bored with your prayers, you are missing the point. The point of prayer is conversing with God. It's not just a monologue conversation. Too often we express the burdens of our heart and then we move on. We need to wait and listen. When you finish your prayers, ask, "Is there anything you want to say to me?" Then be quiet. Listen. Be aware of how your mind wanders. Write it down. Read scripture. Because your mind is not always wandering. God can be trying to communicate. You can always find something in there. I assume that some of you, others besides myself, have prayed and not listened. I have sought help and answers and direction, but haven't always spent the necessary time to listen. And then one day, I discover that the door I've been praying to be opened has been sitting open for a while, but I didn't know it because I wasn't listening. I had no trouble talking, but refused to listen and missed what God was doing. Loved ones, prayer is an adventure. Don't let anyone tell you otherwise. It is a conversation with God who wants us to talk to Him, to have a relationship with us, to have a conversation with us. In the coming weeks, we will be talking about praying for others when God says no and how to continue to grow in your prayer life and relationship with God. But it all starts as we ask, as we seek, as we knock, trusting that God hears us and answers us because God loves us and wants a relationship with us. Let us pray. Oh Lord our God, we want to talk to you. We want to know your way. We want to know your will. And so often we don't understand, we don't hear, we don't listen. We pray today in these moments that at some point this week, we will have that moment when we do understand, when we do feel your presence, your love, feel your grace, experience your embrace. Just for a moment. And then move through our day with a new attitude, because our prayers have been answered and our relationship with you has grown. And all this we ask in the name of your Son, Jesus our Lord. Amen. Remember this week, live simply, love generously, serve faithfully, speak truthfully, pray daily, and leave everything else up to God. And now the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you now and forever. Amen.